This week's play arrives with a special delivery title. It's called The 12-Penny Black.
I'd never met the Dutchman. Sam had talked about him often enough. They met during the Korean War, established a special friendship, and went their separate ways when the war was over. Van Allen settled in Montreal, set up an antique business, eventually specialized in rare coins and stamps.
Look at you, Sam. All these years, and you're still a pipsqueak.
And you, you look like something off of a Trek poster. Where's your cape?
Mr. Van Allen, I'm Sam's niece. Do you remember me?
Little Wilhelmina. How you have blossomed.
Wilhelmina.
Just something he called me when I was a kid.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I embarrassed
no,
you.
No,
and my good wife here... Oh, what am I thinking? This is Noreen, my wife and partner in the business.
Good of you to meet us.
Oh, it's good to meet
not
you.
Not at all. Hello.
My old friend Sam Green, his niece Willie, and this one I don't know.
Oh, it's Flynn. He works for us. Investigator.
Hello. Can I take your briefcase?
No. Please, I take it myself.
Oh, okay.
But maybe the suitcase when it comes.
Sure. I'll pick it out.
Come on, John. There are seats for us old codgers over here.
Speak for yourself, Sam.
Your husband seems to be doing quite well.
He puts on a good show.
What happened, Nori?
The accident?
Yeah.
He was attending a meeting of the International Philatelists in Chicago. A car hit him in a crosswalk.
Oh, wow.
No witnesses. He was in hospital for 2 months.
How long ago?
A year and a half. He's been in physiotherapy ever since.
I don't remember him having such thick glasses.
Side effect of the accident.
Oh.
He's had to put up with a lot.
What are you doing? Give me that!
Hey! Grab that man! There!
Flynn, someone stole the briefcase!
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, look, there he goes! Over there!
All I could see was a man in a black leather jacket and jeans heading out the door. The thief ricocheted off the side of a departing shuttle bus. The briefcase flew out of his hand. In a fraction of a second, the guy did a monkey roll and was back on his feet. Seeing that the briefcase was closer to me than to him, he leapt aboard his parked Kawasaki and rocketed out of there.
Lynn, are you all right?
Yeah. I got the briefcase, but... got away.
Get a license number.
Oh, no, the plate was muddy.
And Noreen went for the police.
You got it back. Thank God. I'll take it.
Sorry about the stairs, John. Our apartment's on the second floor.
No complaints. Stairs are nothing when the price is right.
I'll go ahead with Willie. You take your time.
Yes, ma'am.
I have your room ready for you.
What do you think of my Noreen? Isn't she a wonder?
Oh, yes, she's that. I can't believe you lucked out twice in the marriage game.
Well, I never thought I'd tie the knot again after Edna died.
Yeah.
Married 30 years. But life gets lonely when you have no one to share it with.
How did you meet her?
She restored us rare books. A friend recommended her to... well, to do some work for me.
Sounds like she restored your life as well as your old books.
She has. You remember Edna?
Oh, yes.
A good woman, but she never took an interest in the business. Noreen's different.
You both love rare old things.
Well, she loves an old thing. I love a rare one. And speaking of valuable treasures... I want to show you something.
It took the Dutchman a few minutes to catch his breath once he got up there. Sam got him seated at the kitchen table. Willie put on some herbal tea. When we settled down, the old man opened the combination locks on the briefcase and removed a stamped envelope from its protective plastic sleeve. Setting it down gently on the tablecloth, he smiled affectionately at his trophy.
Here it is, the 12th penny black. There are fewer than 100 left in existence.
Canada postage 12 pence. Ah, oh, good Lord. Is that Queen Victoria?
Yes, at age 19.
Mm-hmm.
The stamp was issued in 1851, before Confederation.
And it's called the 12 penny black because it's printed in black ink?
Exactly.
Ah.
And that's where the trouble started. There were 50,000 printed, but only 1,500 were distributed.
Mm-hmm.
And few of those were used. 12 pence, well, that was a lot of money in those days. On top of that, postmasters hated the stamps because they couldn't read the cancellation marks over the black ink.
So what happened to all the stamps?
Well, most were destroyed in 1857 when a new issue replaced it.
Ah, so that's why it's so valuable.
That and other things.
Now, I don't know much about stamps, but I thought they lose their value if they're cancelled.
Yes, generally that's true, but this one is on the original envelope and cancelled on the first day of the issue.
Ah, so it's worth a lot.
Well, 200,000.
Oh,
maybe more.
Holy cow, that much?
Easily. It's our retirement fund.
You don't know that. Your client hasn't even seen the stamp. You don't know what he'll offer.
As you can see, my wife doesn't like the prospect of selling it. Afraid I sprung the idea on her at the last minute.
It's not something you should decide at the snap of your fingers. You've had the 12-penny black for 30 years. It's part of your life.
It was before the accident, when I could still see clearly. Let somebody else enjoy it now and we can enjoy the money.
John, we don't need the money right now.
See how generous she is?
John, yes.
Please.
No. I'm going to tell them. That accident I had in the U.S. cost us $90,000. Not covered by Canadian Medicare. This wonderful woman here used her inheritance to get me back on my feet. Now, when I want to do something for her, she's worried about my feelings.
Well, I'm sure you two will work things out. But in the meantime, we should put the stamp and the briefcase in the safe downstairs. Do you mind? Hmm?
You saved my life in Korea. I guess I can trust you with a stamp.
A friend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you for a favor. I want you to sleep down here tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll get the fold-up cot from the storeroom.
And could you drive the Dutchman and Marine to the client's place tomorrow?
Oh, sure.
You know, just as a precaution.
Yeah, that thing at the airport spooked me, too. An hour later, I was still trying to get comfortable on that damn folding cot when I heard footsteps on the stairs. I thought it was Willie. We hadn't been getting together much lately. Would she really? In Sam's place? In the office? No, it wasn't Willie. As she quietly opened the front door, I could see by the streetlight that it was Noreen. Where the hell was she going? I slipped on my clothes and followed the Dutchman's wife 6 blocks to an all-night eatery on Broadway. There was no way to get inside unnoticed, so I took shelter from the rain in a doorway across the street and waited. A few minutes later, up came the guy on the Kawasaki, the one from the airport. He was in his late 30s, clean-shaven, designer jeans, not what you'd call a biker. He went inside and joined Noreen at a table near the window. The conversation was short and heated. I couldn't hear the words, but these were two unhappy people. What was going on? Did Noreen have a lover? Did she plan to steal the stamp and dump the Dutchman? I wasn't going to find out this time. Noreen threw some money on the table and walked out, heading back to Sam's. The stamp was secure in the safe. So I grabbed a taxi. Follow that motorcycle.
You're kidding.
There's an extra 10 in it. If he doesn't make it, I just want to know where he lives.
Where's the hidden camera?
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Tailing Noreen's boyfriend, if that's who he was, turned out to be almost too easy. He stayed within the speed limit, didn't run the lights, as if he wasn't anxious to draw special attention, you know what I mean? Then, just as he passed a row of Vancouver Special two stories up on Dunbar Heights, he opened throttle and darted down a back alley.
What now?
Don't stop, follow him.
No way, fella, he's made it.
No sound. He's pulled in at the back of one of these houses.
That's your problem.
Here's a 10 spot. You wait for me. If I don't come back in 10 minutes, you call the cops.
Yeah, right, Sylvester.
Back alleys. There was no way I was going to surprise this turkey. I could only hope he'd parked his bike and gone inside.
Why are you following? Talk fast.
I can't breathe.
Okay, no tricks. Who are you?
I'm a friend of the Dutchman's. I saw you with Mrs. Van Allen in a cafe on Broadway.
What of it?
Well, the Kawasaki, the way you dress, you look a lot like the guy who tried to rip off a briefcase at the airport tonight.
In your dreams, stick man. I was nowhere near the airport.
Look, I'm not a cop. This conversation can end right here. Just tell me about you and Noreen Van Allen.
It's not what you think. She's a cousin, that's all. She phoned me from Montreal, asked a favor.
Yeah, what favor?
None of your damn business. I wish I'd turned her down. I hate family quarrels.
Was she trying to rip off the stamp?
Look, I've had enough of you. Keep following me. I'll talk to you next time with a 2x4.
With that, he gave me a shove, ran over to his bike, and disappeared into the night. There were still too many unanswered questions for me to confront Noreen. For all I knew, the guy on the motorcycle might have been telling the truth, part of the time at least. Maybe the whole thing was a family fight, like he said. Anyway, I decided to keep out of it until I got a better idea of what was going on. The cabbie took me back to Sam's, and as I crawled under the covers, I realized I wasn't alone in the cot.
So what's your story, Sam?
Jeez, you scared the hell out of me.
How do you think I felt when I climbed into this empty cot?
Noreen went for a little walk tonight.
I know, I saw her come in. What's going on?
Well, I'm not sure, but she met the guy from the airport.
The thief mm-hmm. and Noreen? My God. Has it something to do with the stamp?
Having the clue.
You know, there's a philatelist billboard I can access on my computer. Why don't I make a general inquiry about the 12 penny black?
It's history stuff.
Yeah, it might give us a lead. It'll only take a minute.
Willie.
What?
Let's wait till morning.
Okay. Just don't go wandering off again.
Shortly after dawn, I opened my eyes to see Willie across the room at the computer. Modems, billboards, electronic highways are beyond me. Compared to her, I'm still in a buggy on a back road.
Oh, good. You're awake. Want to see this?
Is our message?
Yeah.
Let's see it.
This should connect us to stamp collectors worldwide.
If they have a computer.
Oh, lots do. Especially the dealers. They want to know what's bought and sold.
So what are we saying?
Looking for a 12-penny black. Canada issue. First day cover. Any info? Contact Willow.
Later that morning, Sam gave me the Volvo and I drove the Dutchman and Noreen to Southwest Marine Drive, the house of the man who was interested in the 12-penny black. I felt a little like Wile E. Coyote trying to anticipate where the anvil would fall. I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know what nor where. The only thing I could do was keep an eye on the briefcase.
There we are. A 12-penny black on a first day cover.
1851. That looks good, John. Very good.
Just as I promised.
And the cover address is Dr. R.H. Hastings, 28 Adelaide Street, Toronto, to his uncle. Let me see. Charles Wimple, 12 Clarence Square, London, England. That's the one, all right.
And here's the authentication document.
had it verified by Wright and Sons 5 years ago.
The three of us sat there quietly while the client examined his prospective purchase with a magnifying glass. The Dutchman had introduced him as Largo, an apt code name considering the way he slowly and carefully examined the stamp. He was a slight man with Grecian formula hair and a musician's long fingers. The way he caressed the stamp, I thought the Dutchman had him hooked.
And the price? Well, this particular stamp hasn't been on the market for 30 years. There's no telling what it would bring in auction.
Well, I'm prepared to pay you $175,000.
But that's ridiculous.
Noreen, I'm doing the bargaining here. But my wife is right. We were thinking more in the range of 200,000 Canadian.
That amount is a bit presumptuous.
John, we don't need to sell the stamp. Its value is accruing.
I can't go above 180,000.
Perhaps we should all take some time to think it over. We'll go out for lunch and then we'll call you.
Just like that, he plucked the stamp and supporting document off the desk and into the briefcase, snapped it closed, and handed it to me. What chutzpah! As we left, I glanced in Noreen's direction and caught a look of relief.
I picked up a taste for Indonesian food when I served there in 48.
Oh, yes?
A Dutch army. We weren't very popular.
That's where he developed his cast-iron stomach.
This isn't hot. You should try Tamil.
So, what's the next move?
Well, I don't think there should be a next move. We don't need to sell. You love that stamp, John, and it's as good as money in the bank.
Not if we want to see something of the world one last time. We've always put off that trip. It's time I showed you some of my favorite places while I can.
You're talking like an old man.
I am an old man. Grant me the pleasure of taking my beautiful wife on a grand tour. We'll start in Amsterdam. Oh, you'll love it. I'll even allow you a day in the Rijksmuseum to study the rare books.
You can be so exasperating sometimes. You're letting a romantic idea cloud your judgment.
Always the practical one, aren't you?
Yes. This is business. I'm your partner, aren't I? Why don't you listen to me?
Well, I suppose we could wait. But Largo won't be happy.
You won't sell it?
Not if you feel that strongly.
Oh, you won't regret it, darling. Oh, my.
What's wrong?
I don't know. All the excitement or the spicy food. I don't feel too well.
I'll drive you back to Sam's.
No, not necessary. I'll take you. It's nothing serious. You better go back to Largo, dear. Let him down easy. He's a special customer.
You sure you'll be all right?
Yes. I'll be all right. You know me. A little rest and I'll be back to normal.
I'm sorry your wife is ill, John. I was looking forward to seeing another performance of Negotiation Theater. You are very good together.
It wasn't theater, Largo. As a matter of fact, I...
$185,000.
What?
I thought it over. $185,000. What do you say?
$190,000.
Done?
Subject
to tests. We can go over to the university lab right now. Professor Teller is waiting.
What kind of tests?
Just the usual. What's wrong with you? You know the drill.
Flynn will drive us.
Yes, I'll get my jacket.
You promised your wife.
I know, but I couldn't pass up a deal like this.
Okay, we've got the stamp. Let's go.
Now that's interesting. What are you looking at?
The spectrometer reading.
You said the paper was right. Mid-1800s.
Yeah, it is. But not the ink.
What's wrong with it?
Contains modern drying ingredients. Chemicals that were developed over the last 10 years.
You are saying this stamp is counterfeit?
Reproduced photographically on paper of the period. Then it was carefully aged. The cover and handwritten addresses are masterpieces. The whole thing's an expert forgery.
But this can't be.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Van Allen. The evidence is indisputable.
According to you, just what is going on here?
Mr. Van Allen, he's just upset.
No. It's too convenient. I come all the way out here to sell a rare stamp, and suddenly someone I don't even know tells me it's a fake.
You think we're trying to discredit you?
What else am I to think?
What motive would I have?
Well, there were rumors you already have a 12-penny black. Not as good as this one, but valuable enough.
That's ridiculous.
Discredit my stamp as counterfeit and yours. Yours becomes more valuable. That's what you're up to.
I know you're upset, Mr. Van Allen, but I can't have you slandering my integrity as a scientist. Now, you just take the stamp and have my findings checked, if you like.
And count yourself lucky. I could sue you for trying to defraud me.
Come on, Mr. Van Allen. We'll sort this out another way.
You haven't heard the last of this, Largo.
All the way to the car, the Dutchman was mumbling, "I'm ruined, I'm ruined." He was no longer the confident wheeler-dealer I'd known earlier. Despite his protestations of being set up, Professor Teller's findings had knocked the stuffing out of him. I thought the best thing to do was get him back to Sam's.
Where's Noreen?
Hmm?
Upstairs, resting.
Good.
So he said your stamp's a forgery, huh?
Yes, but it's impossible. I took it out of my safe just before I left the house yesterday.
Yeah, and it was in our safe overnight.
Yep.
Now, look, that thief at the airport. Now, did he have time to make a switch?
No, don't think so.
Flynn, could I talk to you a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, well, here, John, have a cup of coffee. We'll sort this thing out.
What will I tell Noreen?
Did you get a reply on the billboard?
Yes, several. But the most interesting one was this.
Yeah, let's see. What? You mean it's the same stamp?
The original. He had it authenticated.
Now it's starting to make some sense.
Uh-huh. Hey, you onto something.
Yeah, I think so. That guy on the motorcycle?
Mm-hmm.
I think he tried to steal that briefcase as a favor.
What?
For Noreen. Let's just see how this plays out. Mr. Van Allen, have you ever done any business with a stamp collector in Texas, codename Longhorn?
Yes, I know him. Why?
Well, this morning, Willie queried a computer billboard for information about the stamp. And this guy, Longhorn, claims you sold him the 12-penny black a year and a half ago. Huh?
I sold him that stamp?
Uh-huh.
How could that be?
Well, he says he made the deal with the Dutchman. He has a receipt covering the sale. It's signed J. Van Allen.
He even faxed us a copy.
Let me see that.
It does look like your signature, John.
But that's impossible. I must be going out of my mind.
Yeah, the date's a couple of weeks after the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Van Allen, did you suffer any kind of memory loss?
No, wait a minute now. If John did sell the stamp to the Texan, where did this forgery come from? Huh? If it is a forgery.
Despite all the questions, I had a pretty good idea what had happened. But how was I going to tell the Dutchman? Then I saw Noreen standing in the doorway. Her face mirrored her dismay.
What are you talking about? John, you made a deal with Largo, but you promised.
It's far worse than that, Noreen. They might charge me with fraud for trying to sell a counterfeit. How could it have happened?
Tell him, Noreen.
Tell me what? What does he mean?
It is a counterfeit. But I didn't do it to defraud anyone. No one was to see it but you.
And you sold the original?
I had to, John.
We ran up a bill of $90,000 at the hospital in Chicago. Our provincial insurance wouldn't cover it.
But that money came from your inheritance.
There was no inheritance. I told you that so you wouldn't worry. I tried to get a loan at the bank, but there was too much debt on the business.
But the stamp was ready cash right when you needed it.
Yes, but I had to forge his name on the receipt. He was in no condition even to consider the sale. Then I made him a replacement. I had the right paper and the skills to duplicate the handwriting on the cover. It was the ink, wasn't it? They ran it through a spectrometer.
Let's go back a bit. John broke the news about the possible sale of the stamp at the last minute, didn't he? You couldn't think what to do. You couldn't bring yourself to tell him it was counterfeit, so you phoned your cousin here in Vancouver and tried to arrange for it to be stolen. I mean, that would be the end of it. But the robbery failed.
Yes, it's all true. Oh, John, I'm so sorry.
Oh, now, Flynn and I will explain the situation to your client. I think he'll understand.
Can you ever forgive me? I wanted you home and safe.
Of course I forgive you.
I knew that stamp was the love of your life. You said you'd never sell it.
But you were wrong, Noreen. You were so wrong. You are the love of my life, not the 12th penny black.
You've just heard The 12 Penny Black, Episode 8 of Flynn, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Boyd Norman starred as Flynn, with Colleen Winton as Willie and Robert Clothier as Sam. Special guests this week were Otto Loy, Betty Phillips, Fred Diehl, Peter Brockington, Michael Putonen, and Bill Samples. The recording engineer is Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva. The production assistants, Dagmar Kafaka and Loretta Joyce. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nickel.